From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of December, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois. Ben Brown from Missouri University Extension will be here. He's an agricultural economist. We'll explore the export market and diesel fuel, the relationship between the two. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll talk about the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. A quick reminder that registration is open for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits coming up in the month of January on the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. These are three events in Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb. They're the same event, just three different places, with the agricultural economist from here on campus. Sign up today. This includes the meal at the noon hour. It's a morning-long event. You won't want to miss it. The IFAS, Illinois Farm Economics Series. Registration online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu or at willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today at 647 at a quarter, down 5 3/4. The May at 648, 5.5 lower. And December settled at 595 at a quarter, down 2 1/4. January soybeans at $14.60 3/4, off 19 1/4 cents. The March at 1463.5, down 20 1/4. And November beans at $13.81, down 8 1/4 cents. Bean meal down $13.90 at $449.10. The bean oil for the day at 61, $1.05 higher. Wheat futures in the March at 748.5, down 5. And the hard red at 843.5, down 0.5 cent for the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $156.05, up 27.5 cents. Feeders 90 lower at 183.80, and lean hogs were 100 pounds, $85.70, down 7.5 cents. Crude oil at $75.92 a barrel, $1.46 higher. Diesel fuel or heating oil above $3 at $3.03 3/10, 4 1/10 cents still lower for the day. And the gasoline at $2.19 8/10, that's 0.5 1/10 cents higher. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net to discuss what's been happening in the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Happy holidays to you.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here. And yes, we're in holiday mode, it seems like, and wish everybody a enjoyable Christmas and a safe New Year's. This be other than commodity week, this be the last time you get to hear this lovely voice from Normal, Illinois.
That's right. We'll record Commodity Week actually on Tuesday this week, but you'll get to hear it online sooner. And then I don't think probably until the weekend of New Year's that we'll get back around to putting it up on the air. Hey, thank you for doing that as well. I do want to talk about the marketplace today. In particular, the soybeans. Technically, how did today, if it did at all, affect what the picture looks like?
Well, technically, this last week or so, we went up and just ran into some resistance there. Now we're kind of back down the recent trading range. It's going to be important for January soybeans to kind of hold this 1460, 1458 area. You know, same thing on these marches, about 1460. If we look at a price chart, there's going to be some sell stops under there. And if we'd happen to move much below there, we can kind of roll over here with the momentum indicators, maybe drift a little lower here where the bears would probably have Christmas here on this. Fundamentally, what's supporting the weakness basically is Argentina has a forecast of 0.5 to 1.5 inches of rain on 75% coverage. And so that kind of takes the edge off. I don't know if it takes them out of the woods, but it takes a little bit of the risk off the table. That forecast will flip-flop back and forth here. But the other thing on the soybean side, technically, the meal kind of gave up above this 450 area, but the bean oil kind of held this 60-cent area, and that spread was back on here, buying the bean oil and selling the meal. when you look around, it does feel like holiday mode traded through here. Not a whole lot of excitement. Another thing fundamentally on the beans, we did sell 132,000 tons of beans to unknown destination, Todd.
So that was an export sale that the market has been looking forward to, hoping that would come. Is there much of a difference between what has been booked and what has actually been shipped for soybeans? And are you concerned about exports for soybeans?
We've got to remember, we're early in the marketing year. We're just wrapping up the first quarter of the marketing year. So there's a long time to go in through here. The concern on the beans is it's mainly been in the past front loaded. And so we've seen some catch up in here. We had some pretty hefty sales on. Now the key is the shipments. Is the beans, we did ship out 60 million bushels on the weekly inspections report. They were expecting 60 to 75 million bushels, so we're in the ballpark there. Corn shipments were 29 million bushels, and they were looking for 20 to 30 million bushels. So, yes, two moving parts. One is continued sales, see those being active. Then two is the shipment side of the equation here. As we seasonally start to see the shipments wind up here after the first year, and shift to the southern hemisphere, then corn shipments should pick up after that.
What will you be watching in the new year? Of course, there's the final crop production figures that are due out on the 12th of the month.
Yeah, that would be a big one. We'll kind of see how the yield and production numbers come in. Probably the key one that a lot of the analysts point out is that quarterly grain stocks report. That's going to be our first benchmark to show us how much inventory we have on hand. It's kind of the first gauge here to follow here on usage, and we can kind of fine tune that as we go. Of course, along with that, from here on out, it'd be that South American forecast. That weather is very, very important on their production prospects. Brazil's dialed in fairly good in through here, but you know, things can change. Argentina's kind of on the hurt here for a little bit. That good excellent categories down there in the low 20s, and so they've got some work to do. So the weather guys are going to get a big play in through here. And also, too, our forecast here, we're going to see some frigid temperatures here as we move into the weekend. That's going to slow some movement, and two, it's going to probably increase some feed usage. So not only South American weather, the North American weather. Then lastly, too, the main thing we've got to continue to watch is Russia and Ukraine. That's just not going away. And this feels to me this thing's going to continue to escalate as we move into 2023, Todd.
You mentioned the grain stocks report. Has avian influenza had a big enough impact on the poultry sector that it will be reflected in those numbers?
Well, there's two categories in the feed usage category. There's true feed usage, which is, you know, true feed, and also too, over the years, the feed usage category has been a kind of miscellaneous category. And for that to really show up, I think we got to get a little bit more in the marketing year, and that helps in the grain stocks report to see a couple of those, and that'll kind of gauge the feed usage on it. But yes, that is a little bit of a concern here, losing the poultry side. They're big consumers of feed here in the U.S., and we need to make sure we continue to have that real strong domestic use base, because this export news is up and down, but I believe that domestic use is going to continue to remain strong, even going to 2023. Informa came out, and they kind of projected, you know, some strong usage, but on the flip side of that, they're looking at additional acres, and they're looking at a little better yield. So the risk for the producer as we start to plan this 23 crop is maybe some higher carryout estimates if everything comes in ideal as we go through the growing season in 2023.
Hey, thanks much.
You bet. Safe travels.
Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. Have you signed up for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits? We're on the road again this year with the agricultural economist from the University of Illinois. We'll be in Mount Vernon at the Doubletree, in Peoria at the Paradise, and in DeKalb at Ferrandas on January the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You can sign yourself up for one of these programs. We'll kick off at 7:45 a.m. in the morning. The cost is just $80 if you sign up today. today for the IFAS or the Illinois Farm Economic Series either at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. We'll talk about the grain markets, what's happening in South America, the current farm income budgets and some outlook, a farm bill update, and the price of farmland and interest rates as well. Also, you can ask your questions of the Farm Doc team, all of the agricultural economists, and we'll wrap up at the noon hour with lunch. It should be a great morning each day in Mount Vernon, Peoria, and DeKalb. The Illinois Farm Economic Summits in person at those events, the Doubletree Paradise and Verandas. Don't forget to sign up right now at willag.org or at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. On this Monday, Ben Brown is here. He's with University of Missouri Extension, MU Extension. Thanks, Ben, for being with us. I'd like to take up the export market and explore what the numbers really look like as we head into the new year. How are things going along for both corn and soybeans?
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Todd. Thanks for having me on. So export markets have generated a ton of interest this fall, largely negative interest, I guess, is what I would say. If you're a row crop producer, maybe a little bit of a positive flow if you're a livestock producer, because it's largely been weaker demand that's led to some softer exports and export sales. If I just take a look at our most recent week of data, you know, we've had 2 weeks here now of increasing U.S. export sales. Last week, corn, soybeans, wheat all exceeded pre-report trader expectations. That rarely happens that we have all commodities that exceed the pre-report trader expectations, but we did. Soybean volumes were the second highest, you know, of the marketing year. So these are sales that are on the books to be shipped to different places. So, you know, some decent export sales here as of late. However, we continue to see sluggish response in the export inspections, actually, you know, shipments that get on the boat and head across the water. Weekly U.S. ag export inspections for our most recent week were mixed. Corn and wheat were relatively stable. What do I mean by relatively stable? Well, they weren't flashy, but they didn't add to the deficit that we've built in those commodities. And then if we look at soybeans were down in their second lowest value, or their lowest value since early October. So I guess if I had to summarize this, Todd, is like it's been a rather disappointing first quarter of the marketing year when it comes to exports for all of our commodities. If I look at soybeans, our window is closing very quickly to get more exports out of the country before, you know, what we anticipate to be Brazil's mammoth soybean crop coming online. On the corn side of the equation, we're seeing a little bit better export numbers than what we've seen really the last couple of months in that complex, but we continue to run very sluggish corn numbers. We're 160 million bushels behind the pace that we need to be this year. If I look at those export or those total commitments, and this is what's gotten on the boat and left, and also, you know, what we have committed to buy at this point, you know, we're about 26% below where we need to be. And if we caught up and held that pace and held our average pace through the remainder of the year, final corn exports for the year would end up about 13% down from where we are from USDA's current export target. So you're pretty sluggish, maybe getting a little bit better, but as I look out ahead, I'm not really seeing anything that I'm overly excited about in terms of demand in the international front.
You know, there had not been, at least to this point, what I think the trade would have considered demand or consumption destruction. Is that happening now, and why would that be the case?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, that saying is high prices are the cure for high prices, and I do think that we have seen some demand destruction on all fronts. You know, ethanol consumption on corn is down from where we anticipated to be earlier in the year. That was, you know, largely driven by, you know, the expectation that the gasoline consumption would be down due to economic concerns and of the like. So, you know, maybe some fundamental issues there that are weighing on this, that's leading to some demand softening. But I think really on the export front, when we look at it here, it's just a global, like while we're in this situation of global tightness, it's just leading to, you know, just availability concerns, you know, having the product where we need it, when we need it. And certainly we've seen transportation cost values reflect that, even though, you know, the barge rates are coming down or have come down. You know, to move product out of the United States on a barge, get on a ship, you have to pay that high diesel price. It's not just the high price of the raw commodity. You know, we're seeing price increases across the board that's just leading to, you know, people backing away from buying product. And I think that's what we're seeing on the corn side and we'll probably continue to see for a while. Is the demand destruction you're talking about just weak demand in the corn front, even though we've got tight supplies globally? On the soybean side, I'm not ready to go to demand destruction on soybeans. I think our problem on the soybean side is just the nature of timing. It's unfortunate timing to where China really didn't need as many soybeans this fall. And we're anticipating a very large South American crop that's going to come in and really provide some competition for our high-priced U.S. soybeans. So soybean prices, I think, have to move lower to be competitive in the global market. The problem is right now that corn soybean spread is, you know, basically at its bounds. And so if soybeans are going to move lower, corn needs to move lower as well. And so I think what's going to end up happening is, yes, we are going to see some demand destruction of U.S. soybeans, even though it's really more of a nature of bad timing more than, you know, than true demand destruction. So
part of this, as you mentioned, related to transportation costs, diesel in particular, is part and parcel of the war in Ukraine, but not the underlying high price of the commodity?
Yes. I'm not going to put the full, like, you know, the high price of diesel isn't just Ukraine. We've seen tightness in our energy markets due to, you know, a number of factors. And certainly, you know, the war in Ukraine and availability of oil and you know, petroleum products globally has led to tightness in that market. But, you know, if you look at our distillate stocks in the United States, I believe for the most recent week of data, you know, we're down 11% compared to, you know, to our 5-year average in that distillate camp. That's a heck of a lot better than the 22-28% we were experiencing back this summer. So we've seen some improvement in that camp that's led to some softer prices. But, you know, Todd, that retail gasoline, retail diesel spread is as large as I've ever seen it, over $2 between retail diesel and retail gasoline in some parts of the country. So even though we've seen, you know, gasoline consumers have seen some relief at the pump, diesel consumers haven't seen that relief to the extent, even though, you know, their fundamentals have improved to allow for some softer prices. We just haven't seen it yet.
Did you look and do you understand why diesel has been in short supply?
Yeah, so we've had large exports of the product out of the country. There's been strong demand for diesel exports. We've seen U.S. product flow to Mexico primarily early in the summer. That's kind of tailored back a little bit now. You know, we've seen the strong demand for the product coming out of COVID when we were, again, trying to ship a lot of products, and then just, you know, heat, cold spells in some parts of the world, depending on that fuel to heat and power facilities and homes and things like that. So high demand, high exports, or high U.S. demand, high exports, and just led to some tight picture at a time when, you know, I think oil producers here in the United States recognized that there was opportunity to kind of pay down some debt and repay shareholders instead of, you know, increasing production. So we've seen even a little bit of, you know, economics at play there as well.
Free market at work.
That's right.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. I hope you have a happy holiday season, and I look forward to seeing you in January.
Indeed. Same to you. Thanks much. That's Ben Brown. He is with University of Missouri Extension. Thank you. On a Monday, let's check in with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics to see what the weather forecast is like in the growing regions around the planet. Mark, start in South America, begin in Argentina. They've had rainfall. It's getting, I won't say better, but stabilizing some. What are conditions like today?
Well, Todd, things still look to be, they've been stable. Things for this week looks like conditions will go downhill again due to drier conditions and some heat rebuilding into the region. But then as we get into the upcoming weekend and early next week, that is going to be another opportunity for some rain, likely enough to help stabilize crops following this week's decrease in crop conditions. The rain event doesn't look all-encompassing, but again, it looks enough to at least, again, stabilize things. But after that event is done, then the belt goes drier again.
We've heard from time to time that southern Brazil is on the cusp of an issue. Where do you stand?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be that way, in particular Rio Grande do Sul. Paraná has seen more rain versus Rio Grande do Sul, and it looks to be that way still over the next couple of weeks there. But for Rio Grande do Sul, they're more on the cusp. Again, kind of there's debate whether they are going to be more involved with this zone of rain activity, which is going to be oscillating north and south across Brazil. But it's very debatable right now over the next few weeks if they're more involved in the action or do they start to remain in this kind of drier than normal pattern that Argentina's in.
Goiás, Mato Grosso, Tocantins, all still doing okay?
They are. Yeah, that's the most active zone. Looks to stay that way over the next few weeks and keeping conditions in good shape there.
Here in the United States, lots of worry about the cold and another storm.
Yeah, certainly a big winter event coming up later on this week, just prior to the Christmas holiday. Coming up on Thursday and into Friday, a major storm system will be intensifying across the Midwest and Great Lakes region. There's a large area of heavy snow, also very strong winds and creating basically blizzard conditions over a healthy chunk here of Illinois, let alone much of the eastern Midwest. And then behind that, very cold temperatures coming in for several days with minimum temperatures dropping below zero. And certainly, extreme cold, extreme wind chills coming up for Christmas holiday weekend, extending a bit into the early part of next week as well.
And after that, things begin to get warmer?
Yeah, it does not look like this extreme cold shot is going to be long in duration, but rather moderation looks to quickly take place. And already by the second half of next week, temperatures look to return to actually warmer than normal levels here across the Midwest. And that looks to continue through the New Year's holiday weekend.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to get yourself registered for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Do it now. Don't wait. You can do it right now online at willag.org or at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The Agricultural Economist, the Farm Doc team from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus will go on the road in January on the 10th. We'll be at the Doubletree in Mount Vernon, Illinois on the 11th at the Paradise Hotel in East Peoria, and on the 12th, we'll be at Ferrandas in DeKalb. The cost to sign up today is just $80, $85 if you call in, and $90 if you walk in day of, so do it right now at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.